Let's open with a word of prayer, please. Father, we thank you that we can come to you at any moment, from any place, in any amount of noise or distraction, and you are there, and you hear us. Lord, we would like to lay aside distraction and other competing things that compete against what we know is right, and that is you and your word. So lead us this morning as we open your word and as we lift our voices in song and as we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Continuing on in Psalm 119, today we're verses 129 to 144, and verse 138 kind of popped out at me. Your testimonies, which you have commanded, are righteous and very, what? Faithful. Your testimonies, which you have commanded, are righteous and very faithful. So, back to the old hymns again. Great is thy faithfulness. Looking up about Tom Chisholm, who wrote this, he was born almost exactly the same year my grandfather was born, and then he started his ministry the year after my dad was born. So this is not ancient history. This is not 600 years old. It's close. And he was born on a farm in Kentucky, so I can relate to that. And he was in a little teaching district school, and he was just kind of a nothing outstanding in his life, really, except he did write some songs. And it says his aim in writing was to incorporate as much scripture as possible and to avoid flippant or sentimental phrases. So let us sing, Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father, there is no shadow of turning. With thee thou changest not, thy compassion they fail not, as thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness. Psalm 119, we begin with verse 129, and we'll look at 16 verses again today. And I started circling the verses that were my favorite, and I got to the fifth verse, and I'd circle every one of them. So listen up, as you will, and I pray, even if you have a Bible, it's good. I wish you would bring your Bibles, so you can read these notes, that's fine. But I think we need to spend time with the Bible. And you aren't going to have my notes around wherever you go, I don't think. Too hard to carry all that stuff around. But when you look at the Word of God, these things are so reinforcing, it would seem to me. Verse 129, I'll read it, and then we'll talk about them just a little bit. Your testimonies are wonderful. Therefore, my soul keeps them. The entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for your commandments. Look upon me and be merciful to me, as your custom is toward those who love your name. Direct my steps by your word. And let no iniquity have dominion over me. Redeem me from the oppression of man, that I may keep your precepts. Make your face shine upon your servant, and teach me your statutes. Rivers of water run down from my eyes, because men do not keep your law. Righteous are you, O Lord, and upright are your judgments. Your testimonies, which you have commanded, are righteous and very faithful. My zeal has consumed me, because my enemies have forgotten your words. Your word is very pure, therefore your servant loves it. I am small and despised, yet I do not forget your precepts. Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your law is truth. Trouble and anguish have overtaken me, yet your commandments are my delights. The righteousness of your testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall live. That is all truth. And we can't add anything to that to make it better. As I look at just the first verse, your testimonies are wonderful, I just think about the wonder of His Word, the wonder of His testimonies. Do you really consider this a book filled with wonderful things? How many of you have your Bible today? It's not a test. But if it's really wonderful, wouldn't you carry it with you? Well, I have it all memorized. Oh, okay. If you have it all memorized, good. But I'm sure we do have different parts of it committed to our heart, which is really good. Your testimonies are wonderful. What? Therefore, my soul keeps them. Verse 130, the entrance of your words gives light. What do you read that gives light other than this? The entrance of your words gives light what? It gives understanding to the simple. That includes me. Not many wise, not many noble, right? But it's the simple of the world to which all of His love includes the simple of the world. It gives understanding to the simple. Verse 131, I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for your commandments. Panted, used four times in the scripture, and we know Psalm 42, verse 1, a great familiar psalm, as David would write, as the deer pants for the water brook, so pants my soul for you, O God. Does that verse relate to you? I don't know if you've ever watched or if you've ever run a marathon. I hope you haven't because it's too grueling, but some of you may have. But particularly when you get near the end of the marathon, you'll watch people panting. They're so short of oxygen, they just, they're just gasping for air. They're just panting for air. That's how much they want it. So the psalmist says, here, I opened my mouth and panted for what? For oxygen? No. Well, in a way it is, but I opened my mouth and I panted for your commandments. Think how far that is from most of the world. Most of the world hates God's commandments, right? You can't put them on the school. You can't put them on the building. You can't refer to that. You can't have them in a courtroom. Can you imagine that? This nation founded on the commandments, this nation of Judeo-Christian values, and we've turned our back for 50 years now on the commandments, really, you know, with legal action if you put them up, right? And we're turning against the Lord in such an amazing way. Always have, always will, I guess. But here we are. I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for your commandments. Verse 32 is a beautiful verse. They all are. Look upon me and be merciful to me. I like that, right? As your custom is toward those who love your name. Isn't that glorious? It's his custom. To those who love his name, for his mercy, he's always merciful. But if we're out of the range where we can receive it because of sin, we don't really receive the benefits of that mercy totally. I love 133. I guess I say that all the time. Direct my steps by your word and let no iniquity have dominion over me. That's a verse that comes to my mind quite often every day, really. Because we need our steps directed, don't we? I don't know which way to go. I don't know whether to turn to the left or to the right. I don't know whether to go forward or go backward half the time. But direct my steps by your word. And then the second part, don't let any iniquity have dominion over. Oh, my. How real that is. How easy that is to let that iniquity slip into our lives, which separates us from God. 134, redeem me from the oppression of man that I may keep your precepts. Sometimes the repression or the oppression is so strong, we can hardly keep our minds off of it. But the prayer is here, redeem me from it so that I may keep your precepts. Make your face shine upon your servant and teach me your statutes. What a beautiful prayer. And then dry eyes. Rivers of water run down from my eyes because men do not keep your law. I can't read that verse without thinking about this nation and about so many other nations. And it is tragic and it is sad. And we say, how can it be? The rivers of water run down from my eyes because men do not keep your law. And this was written 3,000 years ago. Oh, but it's the end times. Things are so much worse now. Oh, really? Think about when God sent man, when God the Father sent God the Son to be a man. How peaceful was the world? Well, one way they were kind of peaceful because Rome conquered everything. But they had the Caesars. The Caesars said, I am more than a king. I'm Caesar. And the first one, Augustus, I want to be August, which means the top. I want to be the August king. So he's Caesar Augustus, right? And you got to bow down and worship me. And if we look at the waves of 10, especially 10 Caesars of persecution in the first 300 years of the church, you would have said, I would have said, that's the worst time in the world to start a church. Come on, you can't start a church with all that persecution going on. Millions and millions of Christians were killed. And yet, that's when God started the church. And did it die out? No, it grew. Amazing. Rivers of water run down from my eyes because men do not keep your law. Righteous are you, O Lord, and upright are your judgments. Oh, wow. To have a just God. Isn't that amazing? A righteous God. Your testimonies, which you have commanded, are righteous and very faithful. So great is our faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness, I should say. 139, does this affect you? My zeal has consumed me because my enemies have forgotten your words. I guess I have to ask myself, how much of my prayers, in a way, are really consumed by praying for the lost? Because my enemies have forgotten your words. Verse 140, your word is very pure, therefore your servant loves it. How many of you remember ivory soap? 99.44% pure. This is 100% pure. I was reading a little bit about that, and this one guy who came up with the phrase, he decided to total up all of the impurities in ivory soap, and he came up with 0.56%. So you subtract that from 100, you get 99.44 pure, right? So that's where that came from. But it's a slogan that was used for like 30 years, maybe more. Your word is very pure, therefore your servant loves it. Verse 141, I'm small and despised. Do you ever feel that way? Yet I do not forget your precepts. So the smaller and more despised you're made to feel, may you remember more and more his precepts. Yet I do not forget your precepts. 142, your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your law is truth. What a statement. Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your law is truth. Not just true. It is true, but it's more than that. It's truth. Trouble and anguish have overtaken me. Does that fit anybody? Ever feel like trouble and anguish have overtaken you? Yet your commandments are my delights. I think that's what we really mean in Hosea, the joy of the Lord is my strength. I don't think that's my joy in the Lord. I think it's his joy. That's the strength. My joy is pretty weak. But his commandments are my delights. I delight in him because of his righteous judgments, because of his righteousness. 144, the righteousness of your testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall live. What a promise that is. The righteousness of your testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall live. Father, we marvel at your word. We marvel at your grace and your mercy. And Lord, help us this morning to pray aright. And our hearts are grieved for this nation. Our hearts are aggrieved, not so much really for the nation as we are aggrieved for the unbelief, as we are grieved from turning away from you, as we are grieved from being more committed to idolatry in so many ways, it seems. Nothing new, but it's continuing, and in some cases seems to be intensifying, at least in some ways. So, Lord, help us to pray this morning. Just lead us by your Spirit, and may we pray as you lead us to pray, in Jesus' name. Let's close with the love of God.
God gave his son.
Father, that is our prayer today, that your love would shine forth through each of our lives, Lord. May it be. In Jesus' name, amen.